Welcome to episode 78 of Near Death Dolls. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Paige.
And we are hosties with the mosties.
While talking about ghosties.
And other pretty effing obvious shit.
Well, duh. Today, Lisa is going to be taking us through the mysteriously suspicious death of Rebecca Zahow.
But before we get started, we obviously wouldn't be near death dolls if we didn't have a drinky drink. So, Paige, what are you drinky drinking today?
Rum.
And why are you just drinking your rum? Rumpelstiltskin?
Rumpelstiltskin from Once Upon a Time. Did you ever watch that show?
Paige, don't make me blush. Yes. Yes. Yeah, you did something for me too.
That's hard.
Actually, most of the men and some of the women did something for me in that show. That was a great show.
There was a lot of real beautiful people in that show.
Beautiful people.
And if you pay too much attention to like the kid and the plot, I don't know, part of me was just like, this is dumb, but they're so beautiful.
Yeah, I loved it. So what kind of rum do you have?
Oh,
I'm sorry. Go back to you. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I wish I could roll my R's. Then I would say rum punch with an R roll, like rum punch.
Rum punch.
Fuck like you. Oh, that's awesome.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. That's great. In love.
Oh, I know. It's the most loving kind of fuck ever.
Yes.
Platonically, between friends.
Thank you for doing it for me because I couldn't. We're here. We're shaking hands. We're doing what each other, you know, support. So anyway, I got the rum. Lisa bought me these wonderful looking cocktail balls that need to dissolve in water, in sparkling water. And I just don't have any sparkling water. I didn't read the instructions. So today when I went to the store, I literally could have bought some sparkling water next to the rum. But I didn't know. So here we are. Now I'm just going to drink some rum. And it's clear. So it looks like I'm just drinking water.
Very nice.
Ossifer, it's just water.
Goodness. Well, good thing you're not going anywhere after this, right? Uh-huh. All right. Good.
Fuck no. Mm-mm. I'm here tonight for this and that's it.
Sweet.
What about you? What you got to drink,
girl? I, of course, am drinking out of my skull. Mason jar, which is my Agent Scully here.
Agent Scully! I hoped you would. Today I was thinking like, oh man, I wish I had a cool cup like her to put on her stream.
And so my drink is comprised of two ingredients. It is ginger ale and Crown Royal peach.
Peach. I haven't had the peach one. Do you like it?
I love it. Oh my gosh. So if you were just to put it on ice and just sip it, it tastes like a peach sweet tea.
Mm.
So good.
I'm convinced.
Right? And then when I was making dinner earlier, Kyle had like half a little bottle of ginger ale. I'm like, I'm going to mix that with the peach stuff and see how it tastes. It tastes like springtime in a cup. Oh. So good.
That sounds amazing. And it's not springtime. So, you know, it needs something that's evocative of beautiful weather, sunshine.
Mm-hmm. It's very good. Very, I really didn't put a lot of the Crown peach in it, but it's good. It's really good. It's like just enough peach. And then the ginger ale kind of just gives that little like spice and sweetness. Very nice.
Some bubble.
Little bubbles. Bubble. Yep, I got the boopy bubbles.
I hope you put enough alcohol in there, though. You said there's not a lot.
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see, I guess. Don't get giggly, we'll know there wasn't enough.
Do not know we're giggly anyway. When I start crying is when you know I've had enough.
Okay. I'll watch out for those tears.
Mm-hmm. Well, my darling Paige, are you ready to talk about the mysterious death of Rebecca Zahow?
Yes. And you know what? I was trying so hard to concentrate on saying her last name that when we did the intro, I was like, Rebecca.
I did catch that. It's okay. You were so focused on getting the last name right, you got the first name wrong.
I was going to skip right over the first name, I guess. But anyway, yes, I would love to hear about this. I don't know who she is or what happened, except that it seems to be suspicious.
Very. And I think this is a very, very popular I say popular, a more well-known death, because there's a lot of controversy behind it, and it's just, and it happened not that long ago, and it actually happened in almost your backyard, Paige, so we're going to talk about that.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So here we go. In the early morning hours of, well, I put month, day, 2011. I forgot to fill in the rest of my thing.
2011, it's fine.
Okay, here it is. In the early morning hours of July 13th, 2001, a 911 call comes in from a man. Out of breath, he says, "Yeah, got a girl, hung herself." Oh. Very breathlessly. This was the second time police had been dispatched to the address of the caller in 2 days.
2 days? That's a red flag.
Upon arrival, they found a woman, naked, laying in the yard of the home belonging to Jonah Shackney. The caller was his brother, Adam Shackney, and the woman was 32-year-old Rebecca Zahow.
Oh, I don't like where this is going. For her, obviously not, because she's gone.
She's gone. So, Rebecca Zahow was born March 15th, 1979, in Burma, which is now known as Myanmar. Hope I said that right.
Oh, okay.
So, her family were descendants of Burmese royalty, and her father had been taken as a political prisoner at some point. They left Burma for Germany and Austria, where Rebecca finished school before coming to the U.S.,
Burmese royalty.
I guess I always forget that, like, there is royalty outside of, like, European royalty.
Yeah. Yeah, not so much anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there was royalty out there, but now it's all dictatorships and presidents and things like that.
That's right.
Boring.
Yeah, who needs that? So she was one of six children. Her sister, Mary, I think it was her older sister, described her as vibrant, a go-getter, strong Christian faith, funny, and charming. She was also very health conscious.
Whoa. Okay. And you said she's 32 at time of death?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So she spoke six languages. She had a first husband she'd been married to for about 8 years, and their divorce finalized a few months before her death.
Oh, it's him. He did it.
Actually, no. No one thinks it's him at all.
Okay.
That's spoiler alert, it was not him. But they had been together, like, pretty much from her early 20s, you know, for about 8 years, and then divorced. She was working at an optometrist's office when she first met Jonah Shackney around 2009 in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, okay. Okay. Arizona. Kind of my backyard.
Well, it's gonna really float over to your backyard, I promise.
Okay.
It's gonna, you can throw a stone. Maybe not. Maybe if you have a good arm.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Okay, I you're like no, girl. Fuck that. So Jonah Shackney was born in 1957, so there's a 22-year age gap between him and Rebecca.
I was gonna say, that's quite a bit older. Some girls like it.
So it's, hey, you're an adult, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
He was the founder of Illustris Pharmaceuticals and founder CEO of Medicis Pharmaceuticals.
Damn.
So, you know, he's making some money.
Yeah, lots of money in the pharmaceuticals.
Yes. And, okay, here's really what bothered me. I could not find anywhere where it specifically said how many times he had been married and how many kids he actually has, because they said between 2 and 3 times married and fathered between 3 and 5 children, differing reports.
What?
I know, weird, what? Right? I don't know why no one could nail that down. I know.
Right, that's not something that's like, oh, his favorite color was blue. No, it wasn't, it was yellow. It's like, no, no.
Well, this is like a recent thing. This is a recent thing. It's not like back in the 1800s where you didn't really know how many kids you might have had. Who knows?
No, yeah, totally. It would have been a lot easier in 2001 than 1800 to be able to say, oh, he was married this exact amount of times because we have this many marriage certificates and birth certificates.
Okay, so we couldn't really pin down how many kids or marriages he had, but if we're going based off of probably my biggest source of information, which was the Oxygen special, like, 5 or 4-parter, I think it was called, like, Murder at the Mansion.
That sounds cool. I want to watch that.
Based on that, he's been married twice and has 3 children.
Okay. I would go with Oxygen. Yeah.
Yeah. I trust him. So, of his children, his youngest child is named Max, and we're going to talk about him a lot more, too.
Okay. I'll remember Max.
So, Rebecca and Jonah begin dating. They were both into health and fitness. They loved outdoor adventures, all that kind of stuff. I believe they lived in Arizona first and decided to move to California to a mansion in Coronado.
You're right. It is very close.
Yeah. It's called the Spreckles Mansion. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes. Why have I heard of that? Give me a second. Well, okay. So whoever the Spreckles were, I don't know. They must have had a bunch of stuff because there's a Spreckles Theater as well.
It was built in 1901, so.
Okay. So it was like some founding family of San Diego, probably.
Sure.
Why not?
So another weird thing is, so the mansion has 10 bedrooms, 9.5 bathrooms, but depending on what source you look at, they say 27 rooms. I'm sorry, 27 rooms. So I think they're combining the bedrooms, the bathrooms, the kitchens, the
offices,
the guest bedroom, a guest house or whatever. It has a guest house.
Wow.
This is important to know. But Jonah Shack and I bought this mansion in 2007. Do you want to guess for how much?
Oh, God. In 2007, over $1 million.
$12.75 million.
Jesus Christ.
So he had money, okay? He had hefty bags of money, okay?
Yeah. Lots of rooms, though.
Right. So Jonah, Rebecca, and Max, Jonah's 6-year-old son, are living together, and it said that Rebecca and Max were like best buddies.
That's really sweet. Stepmommy, even though they're not married.
They're not married, but they've been dating about 2 years. But yeah, so Max and Rebecca were like besties, and she loved and doted on him. I read that Jonah's older children, who I think were like in their teens, weren't a big fan of Rebecca. So I can understand how it's much nicer when like at least one child has like no negative feelings towards you, isn't like in that place of like, well, you're the new girlfriend or whatever.
We don't you know? Yeah. Kind of for no reason, so, probably. Just like you're dating dad, you're younger than him.
Mm-hmm. You're not our mother.
Yeah.
So I think Jonah's older two children were from his first marriage. Max is from his second marriage, or maybe third marriage. Depends on how many. I don't know. Who knows? Okay. Whatever.
Rich people can pay to hide their past, I guess.
Right. Who knows? Or someone did some bad reporting. I did bad research, apparently.
No. If everybody says something different, how are you supposed to research better?
I don't know. Who do you trust, right?
Not me. I don't trust me.
So Jonah's ex-wife is named Dina Shacknai. She's the one that's the mother of Max.
Okay.
And that's the only child they had together.
And now Max lives with.
I think he goes back and forth.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, I think it was just joint custody. And I don't think she lived that far away. I think she had a house pretty close by.
That's nice. That makes it easier.
She wasn't really a fan of Rebecca, but as you can probably guess, like, Dina is older. I don't think she's as old as Jonah. I don't know, but just based on looking, she's probably closer to Jonah's age. But yeah, so I read that Dina didn't really like or want Rebecca watching Max alone without like Jonah's supervision.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know this person. She came in after me. She's my replacement. Mm-hmm. I get that. I mean,
there's a million reasons. I mean, it's a new person. I know some people who have gotten divorced and they have it in their like custody arrangement agreement, whatever, that another person who is not approved by the one parent can't be alone with the children or sleep over. I knew a guy who he's like, yeah, I have it in our agreement that, you know, my ex can't have a man sleep overnight while my kid is there, because I don't know them.
You don't know.
And like the kid was too young to really say maybe anything that could have possibly inappropriately happened. Not saying anything did, but
But you never know. And even her dating somebody, you never know what kind of guy or girl you're dating. And also, I mean, I've heard of people also from the parents' perspective being like, I don't want you to get too attached to my kid in case we break up. Because we're just dating right now, you know, and you don't want the kid to be like, where is she or where is he? I liked him.
Right. There's all kinds of problems that can happen. But I read that Dina felt Rebecca kind of overreached in the parenting department at times, and that caused feelings. So, like, yeah.
Some resentment.
I don't know if it's true or not. I just read that somewhere saying that she was like, she didn't like her parenting techniques with her child, so.
Yeah, maybe Rebecca was like, oh, I'm going to put you in time out. And the other mom, the real mom, was like, don't punish my kid.
Yeah. Man, things get sticky and tricky in those situations.
A lot of resentment. It's Yeah.
Yeah. So July 11th, 2011, Max, Rebecca, and Rebecca's 13-year-old sister, Zena, who was visiting from, I think, Missouri, were at the mansion.
Zena.
Zena is a good name, right?
Yeah, it is a good name.
Jonah was at the gym or possibly at work. I'm not really sure. So Max was in the care of Rebecca. Rebecca was in the bathroom when she heard her sister Zena shouting. She came out of the bathroom to find Max at the bottom of the stairs closest to the front door. His scooter, like one of those like Razor scooters, was on the ground next to him, and so was a crystal chandelier that had been previously hanging from above.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Is he okay? Yeah.
Well, it appeared Max may have been riding his scooter at the top of the stairs and has somehow gone over the railing and grabbing onto the chandelier as he fell.
Oh, no. That's not good.
So Rebecca starts giving Max CPR and tells Zena call 911.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Max is taken to, I think it's Rady Children's Hospital, and placed into a medically induced coma.
Wow.
Jonah and Dina are at the hospital with Max, and Rebecca decides it's best to take her sister to the airport and send her back to Missouri. Like, with all this stuff going on, it's probably best that she's not involved.
You're right, right. They don't have time to be watching after her, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, tensions are really high, obviously.
Yeah, damn. Poor Max.
I know. So the next day, I think it's the next day she actually takes her to the airport. Dina's twin sister, Nina. So there's a Dina and a Nina.
Dina, Nina. Okay.
Yep. Dina's twin sister, Nina, flies in to support her sister. Jonah's brother, Adam, also flies into town from Nashville, Tennessee, where he is a tugboat captain or operator or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Rebecca and Adam both stay at the mansion that evening. Rebecca stays in the main house, and then out back is a guest house, and that's where Adam goes to stay. That night, Rebecca talks to her mom and sister, Mary, before going to bed and saying, hey, I'm going to keep you updated on what's going on in the following days. I'm just trying to, you know, keep my distance, but also be supportive. Like, I don't want to, like, go insert myself in too much because I know right now they're with their son. Like, I'm going to give them that space, like, respectfully.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure there was some high tension of, like, you were supposed to be watching him, and this happened on your watch. I already don't like you.
Right. So now we're back to the morning. Rebecca is found by Adam. That's July 13th. So Adam says he was up early around 6:45 a.m., walking from the guest house to the main house to get some coffee. Quick thought. This is a fucking mansion. You don't think they have a coffee pot or a Keurig in the guest house?
It would have been so. Yeah, totally.
Anyway, so he says he's walking in. And according to him, he sees Rebecca hanging from the little balcony off of a bedroom.
No.
Right. She's naked. Her feet are bound with rope. Her hands are bound with rope behind her back. And she has a t-shirt over her face or in her mouth. I couldn't get a clear, like, where exactly it was. I think it might have been over her neck, slightly shoved in her mouth, a t-shirt.
I don't think she did all that to herself.
And she's hanging by the neck.
Yeah.
Okay. He tells 911 that he got a steak knife to cut the rope and cut her down.
Okay. I guess you just go for whatever's close by.
Sure. Sorry, I am burping.
Oh. Ginger ale.
Yes, ginger ale. Hmm. All right, so Sergeant Dave Nemeth of the San Diego PD says Rebecca checked her voicemail about 12:50 a.m. the morning that she's found, July 13th. Jonah allegedly leaves a voicemail stating Max probably wasn't going to pull through.
I
say allegedly because no one heard this voicemail because it was deleted for some reason.
By her or... after this,
nobody knows what was on the voicemail. Nobody knows who deleted it. It's interesting though, because apparently Dina, Max's mom, was told there was hope for him to pull through.
So who's leaving this voicemail about, like, you should be real guilty right now because,
or what exactly? Right. Yeah, I think don't quote me on this. According to Jonah, he wasn't like saying this is all your fault. He's not going to pull through. You should be ashamed of yourself. I think he was just like, hey, just it's not up. Looking good. They're not really sure that he's going to make it. Like it's looking grim.
Which is weird because the mom thinks opposite, or not thinks opposite, but said that the doctors had hope.
Right. So either someone's lying.
Yeah.
Or. And I have this little inkling in my head, okay, that maybe the doctors told Jonah, because maybe he's the stronger one, look, it's not looking good. And maybe they're like, there's always hope, Dina.
Yes.
There's always hope.
Yes.
Kind of like, I want to give her hope, even if it's false hope, at least something to hold on to for a little bit longer.
Yeah, maybe she looked a little more on edge, more like coming apart at the seams. You could totally be right. Or maybe they talked to different... doctors or nurses, like one of them talked to this nurse on this shift and this other nurse is like, I don't know, it doesn't look so good.
Right. So the Sergeant Nemeth says after hearing the voicemail, and this is all what he's putting together or what's been investigated or whatever. He says after hearing that voicemail, she removed her clothes, then painted a weird message on the door with paint.
Okay. At midnight, she has this paint handy.
So, apparently she did like to paint.
Oh, okay.
Pictures and stuff. So, it's not like the bizarre paint came out of nowhere. She paints.
Actually did
she had
have
paint
like
brushes and stuff like that. Yeah.
A set of some sort. Yeah.
Right. But she paints a message on the door of the room that she's in. It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
It says, she saved him. Can you save her?
Rebecca wrote this, referring to herself as she. Maybe. I don't know. People are weird. The Rock used to refer to himself in the third person, too.
But that's a little weird, right? Like, she saved... Okay, what if... All right, think about this. We're going to get into all these theories and stuff, but number one, she's speaking in third person. Number two, she just heard, possibly, that Max is not going to make it. Why would she say she saved him?
Right. As far as she knows, he's not saved.
Right. Possibly. We don't know. Anyways, so then here's what the sergeant surmises, is that she took some red rope, secured some of it to the foot of the bed that was in the room.
Okay.
She uses the opposite end of the rope to tie around her neck and then places the shirt as a gag, like around her face or in her mouth. I don't know. It's very weird. And very then weird. She binds her feet at the ankles and then she binds her hands behind her back.
I don't know if that's possible.
We're going to talk about it.
Okay.
and presumably, like, with her feet bound, she had to hop over to where the balcony is and jump off.
Yeah, hands behind your back, can't even, you know, balance
yourself. Feet tied, probably can't see because you got a shirt around head.
Yeah, exactly. What? Yes. Crackpot police work there.
Okay, so from the time of her death, which was in July, to September, so just a couple months, by September 2nd, the medical examiner holds a press conference stating that it was suicide.
That is a long time later. I believe the body's probably either cremated or buried by that point. What took so long?
Well, I mean, they can do the bodily examination and then come to their conclusion. Mm-hmm. But I believe she was buried.
Okay,
so, I've got some evidence.
Actually, I wanted to point out, you had said early on, maybe even before we started recording, that I would recognize this case. And it took me a while, but I do remember now, in 2011, hearing about, at work, we were all just like, fucking rich people. And this just kind of moved on. I don't know a lot of the details, but I do remember this happening.
Okay. I was about to say, this is a very, very, well-known case.
So. And it's, in my backyard.
Right, and I'm like, and Paige is like, we've talked about, was it Hotel de Coronado?
Yeah, Hotel Del. Yeah.
Yeah, Hotel Del. That's
right. And it's right there.
Yeah. So, evidence. Okay.
If there is
any. So the cop. Oh, no, there's a lot of shit. Okay. There's plenty of shit to look at here. Damn. It's all weird. So the cop who responded to the 911 call when Max fell is the same cop who responded to the 911 call when Rebecca was found within 42 hours. Not the next day, but the day after. Mm-hmm. So in an interview with him, he said as soon as he and presumably his partner heard the address that they were going to be heading to, he admits they instantly thought the woman from 2 days ago, suicide.
I guess that could be an automatic response of oh no,
guilt, heavy guilt, he's like, oh, if they said it's a woman killed herself, it has to be that same woman that was gave CPR to this little boy.
Wasn't that long ago?
Apparently I've heard this several times, that Rebecca was saying, Dina's gonna kill me, Dina is gonna kill me, because of this, really, I mean, she's upset over Max, but she's like, oh my God, Dina's going to kill me, you know?
Yeah.
So he's like, suicide. So already, before even getting to the house and looking around, it's in their minds, suicide.
Yeah, so putting the cart before the horse a little bit, but,
a bit. So with that mindset, arriving at the house, do you think they're going to, if you go in thinking suicide already because of the situation before, are you really going to be paying attention to anything that might indicate otherwise?
No, because you feel like, oh, it's probably already done and over.
We know what's going on here. There's no point in dusting for shit,
Oh my God.
Fingerprints.
Yeah.
So
being careful not to leave their own fingerprints. They're probably just like, oh, let's get her down. Or I guess the brother.
She was already down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you may know of Paul Holes and Billy Jensen. Have you heard of them? Mm-mm. I think Billy Jensen is a investigative journalist, and Paul Holes, I think, has worked in forensics.
Wow.
And I think Paul Holes, I may be getting this wrong, I think Paul Holes helped identify the Golden State Killer.
Oh, shit! Okay.
And Billy Jensen, I believe, he helped solve a case through Facebook. He created a group and had pictures and does anyone recognize this guy in this shirt and help us catch a possible killer. Anyways. Damn. So these guys interviewed this cop on the Oxygen special that I watched. It was mainly him. So it was mainly Paul Holes, Billy Jensen, and Lonnie Coombs, who I think was a lawyer, a prosecutor.
Okay.
Not necessarily in this case, I don't think, but she was just a part of it just to give her opinion. They interview the cop that showed up to the house, both times. He's since retired, and he admitted it was suspicious to see Rebecca hanging naked and bound, but he still, as of the interview in 2019, believes it was a suicide.
Okay. All right.
They're like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. totally.
Okay. I mean, okay, maybe if she had like a shit ton of drugs in her system, like she was going off the deep end and then went off the railing.
Right.
But I don't know. That's just a weird way to kill yourself. A lot of people don't do that. They don't tie their hands up. We're going to
talk about that too.
Okay.
I promise you, we're going to get there some more. So let's go over a little more evidence real quick. So a bath towel on the floor just outside the bedroom and blood spots on the carpet confirmed, they were confirmed to be Rebecca's, but she was menstruating at that time. So the blood could be drips from that.
True.
And as a woman who menstruates, when I get out of the shower, I quickly dry off and do something to prevent myself from bleeding all over the place.
Yes. I try, so, at least, real quick.
Yeah. Yes. If you are not a menstruating female, or if you're a dude, let's just say you don't have a period, obviously. You're going to, as a woman, you're going to take care of that real quick, because you do not want to be like dripping down your legs after you just got showered off.
I don't want it on my towel. I don't want
you don't want it. Oh, yeah. You don't want it on your towel either. Anyways, so there's a couple blood spots. It's also pointed out in the area that had the blood on the bedroom carpet right by the door. That's where it stops. So if she had decided to tie herself up while naked and work her way over to the balcony, why is there no blood anywhere else in that room?
It should have been from a snail trail.
God, Paige! Not maybe not that much, but maybe. I don't know.
Not that much, but you know, there should be some drippies if you're
there
naked.
There should be some drippy spots, not a snail trail. Good God.
Poor choice of words. Poor choice of words. I should maybe breadcrumbs would have been better.
Sure. No, Paige, I don't think anything is going to be okay.
No, you're right. It's all bad.
It's really all bad. Okay. So also, two knives were found. A smaller steak knife, or steak-looking knife, smaller knife, and a larger kind of chef knife. The smaller knife had blood on the handle all the way around, leading to believe that it could have been used to penetrate.
Oh my God. Wait. Does she have stab wounds?
No.
No. Okay. All right then.
Yeah.
I don't know then. I'm confused.
Yeah. So here's a really weird thing. So no foreign DNA was found on Rebecca.
Leading to the theory that she did it herself.
Possibly, but okay, but there's another something weird. So the knife that Adam used to cut down Rebecca doesn't have Adam's fingerprints on it. Why?
Yeah, why? You're not going to think, you shouldn't cut them down in the first, I guess if you think that they might still be alive, you want to cut them down.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't, you know, mess with a crime scene if you know they're dead, I guess. But anyway.
I want to say he gave her... Well, I have a theory, but I want to say he admitted to trying to give her CPR.
Okay.
And I don't remember if they said they found any of his DNA, which should have been on her, around her mouth area, at least, if he was giving her CPR. But I don't think they said they found any of his DNA on her, which they did talk about how they, when they were testing for DNA, there is a thing where I guess the DNA can be mixed. And if they're only testing for her DNA, they're only going to find hers, I guess. And instead of like the mix of, I don't know, I might be talking on my ass. I don't know.
That actually kind of makes sense. If they're not looking for his specifically and just hers.
Or if they're testing for DNA and it's a mixture, it's like hers is blue, his is red, and they find purple, but they don't find blue, so it can't possibly be his DNA.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Interesting. Okay. And if he was, like, mouth-to-mouth CPR, it would be mixed a little bit.
You would think so.
Yeah.
So, on the oxygen special death at the mansion, Paul Holes notes that it's uncommon to see a suicide hanging with a 10-foot drop, like a really long drop like that, because he was like, most of the time when people hang themselves, like, number one, that's a long drive. A lot of times people do it in the closet or over a door or something like that. But that's very strange to do such a big drop. That's like an execution style drop. Like
that's
the gallows drop. You know what I mean?
Very dramatic. Yes.
And the rope markings on her neck were not consistent with that of the drop that she would have dropped from the balcony. And they were saying how her injuries were more consistent with a manual strangulation with the rope, possibly.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. And then possibly thrown over the side.
Right. They were talking about the hyoid bone in the neck. Mm-hmm. How if you were to hang yourself, something about, I think it's a floating part, bone or cartilage or whatever it is. I should know this, but basically that when you hang yourself, the way the rope would catch around your neck and put pressure on, the hyoid bone would actually kind of like move out of the way a little bit or float not quite right there. But think about this. So I hate to say it. Imagine a rope around your neck, kind of where it would go if you were hanging, right? It
especially
would
from go that. Up,
right, from go what, kind of under your neck and then kind of hang up. And your head would probably be tilted down, allowing the hyoid bone to move a little bit. If you were being strangled manually, or even with a rope, but directly on and not at that angle, it's going to keep that hyoid bone in place. It's That's not going to be able to move too much.
It's a completely different position.
It is a different position. So they were saying it was not consistent with hanging, especially with that kind of drop.
Right, that dramatic of a drop, it would have really fucking wrenched right here. You would have seen the markings, and they still think it's suicide?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, they do. And then also, let's think about the psychology-ish behind, unfortunately, women's suicide. So, they say it's very unusual for a female suicide, number one, to be a hanging. Most women will take pills.
Okay.
Or do something like that. Also naked women don't want to be found that way. There's it's so vulnerable, and you're already vulnerable, and you want to be, I'm not saying like I've thought about this for myself. I'm just trying to kind of put myself in that mindset. I wouldn't want to be found that way. I would never want anyone to see me that way, even in death.
No, definitely not. I agree with you. I mean, if you're already thinking that kind of way and you're like, well, someone's going to find me. That's why I think what you said about women taking pills and things, it's like it's a little bit more of a, I don't know, dignified is the wrong word, but it's similar to that. It's like you're not naked. You're not hanging over the side of a fucking railing for the world to see. It just doesn't fit.
It's just not common. I'm not saying it can't happen. It's just not a very common thing.
That's what I was thinking. Like, if she was on a speedball or something, or ketamine, like some really nasty kind of fentanyl, like some crazy drug that it's like, well, I don't give a shit. Like, you're maybe
you're out of
not in your right mind.
Yeah. So, also, I'm only laughing because I'm... Okay, I'll tell you. So, they were saying, as a woman... Paige, when you put on a shirt, let's say it's a higher neck shirt, whatever, put on a shirt, and your hair is a little longer these days, so put on a shirt, what do you do with your hair?
Gotta pull it out.
You untuck it, right?
Oh, yeah. As soon as that neckline hits, I am taking the hair out of the shirt. It's annoying. It's like,
it itches sometimes. So they were pointing out that the rope was over her hair.
Oh, no.
If she were going to do this, she would pull her hair out.
Because it just Nine times out of ten. It's just like, ooh, I don't know.
The reason I laugh is because I was thinking, oh my God, I am the one percenter who doesn't.
You don't?
I'd never do it like immediately. I don't know why. It, to me, it's comforting and it keeps me warm.
Oh.
Like when I'm, you know, I'm like, I hate to poke holes in this theory, but I'm like, I'm the one girl who doesn't mind it, like, being tucked in for a little. Like, if I'm going out, I will pull it out.
You're
going to
pull.
If I'm just out of the bath and I'm putting on my jammies, I'll leave it there until it's time to, like, get in bed. And even then, sometimes I'm like, oh, it's keeping my neck warm. But I'm the one person that was like, meh. However, I think if I run that
cold,
situation, Yeah, I would probably pull my hair out.
Yeah, that's because that's another thing is like if you said even if you're going to go out, you'll pull your hair out. Of the shirt. So if you know that someone's going to be finding you, or also it's a lot tighter than a shirt. I don't know if you'd want your hair, but I don't know.
I don't know. I would think with a rope. I think with a rope, definitely. With it like kind of like pulling with the rope, I don't think I would enjoy that. Not that I'm looking for enjoyment right before hurting myself.
But I think if it's already an automatic thing, not for everybody apparently, but if it's already an automatic thing to get your hair out, you're just going to do it without even thinking.
Yeah.
Or somebody else did it.
Or someone else did it and they're like, let's just do this.
Yeah.
So there's that. Then the police department, I hate this. I really hate this because I think that's the dumbest thing ever. But the police department had a female in their department demonstrate how it is possible to tie rope around your hands behind your back in a complicated knot.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's true.
It's but probably listen, possible. She would have had to watch some YouTube tutorial for like several hours to get this because after they looked at how the knotting and rope work was being done, they showed that you would have to do it in front first, pull one hand out, put both hands behind your back, shimmy your hand into the holes that already exist, retie, and pull tight.
Nobody's doing that. If they're like, I need to end it right now, which of course, I hope it's not good. I don't want people to do that, obviously. But if they're like, I'm going to end it right now, I can't live another moment with this guilt. You're not taking the fucking time to tie your hands back because you don't have to.
Okay, so they showed, I don't remember how long it took the woman to do it. I wouldn't think more than like 5 minutes in the video. But okay, remember, she's naked, menstruating. Yeah. Where's midnight. The blood that is dripping out of her while she's doing this?
Yeah, it should be in a pool or something, like at the bottom of the bed or
somewhere.
Something.
Yeah, on the floor. Depending on how much she was menstruating, but true. Yeah. But also, so they were saying it's not always uncommon for someone to do something where they're maybe tying their hands to try and prevent themselves from stopping themselves from killing themselves. But think about this. Okay, let's say, I hate talking like this, but let's say someone's deciding they are going to end their life by hanging and they're going to do it in the closet.
Sure.
Okay. If you're in the closet and based on your height and how you're getting up, you're getting yourself up higher and how much distance there is between you and the floor or whatever, you could possibly stop yourself.
Sure.
If you're going to go hang yourself and throw yourself over a balcony, once you're over that balcony, there's no helping yourself. There is no helping yourself, especially with a drop like that. You're done.
Yeah. You don't need to do that with your hands.
You'll either instantly die or there's almost no way for that, with your weight, getting that rope off.
No.
I can't see that being...
Might just snap the neck instantly to where you're not even going to be able to do anything.
So what's the point? I mean, I know people aren't always thinking logically when they decide to end their lives, but why?
It seems illogical to think that someone who's trying to end their life is like, okay, I'm going to tie this complicated knot and put it behind my back. I know that you said it's true. It's not necessarily a logical situation, but I would think that that's not the first thing on your mind, but maybe it is. Maybe it is.
I just wouldn't have I don't think I'd have the brain power. I think I'd be so emotionally drained from worrying about Max that I would be like, I'm not going to take all these steps. It would be much quicker than all this seems to have happened.
Yeah.
But, so, let me tell you.
Yeah?
I found this funny. Not the situation. So, on the Oxygen special, Billy Jensen was really intrigued about, like, the knots and the rope and stuff like that. Like, okay. So, he goes to a Shibari expert. Do you know what Shibari is?
Yes. Yes, I do. The person who... The kind of people who like artful rope. I don't know how to say it.
I think it's Japanese bondage, essentially, but it's very artful and very well done, I guess. Specific. I don't know. Very specific. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bondage. Mm-hmm. So he goes, it's basically like a kink dungeon, maybe. I don't know. Okay. They had it in a room. They had these two ladies in a room, a much older lady and a slightly younger lady, who are experts. Hmm. And he's asking them about the knots and the rope work. So he shows them pictures just of like her arms and her feet. And he's like, and she was from Burma, which mm-hmm. is an Asian, I hate to say that, is it an Asian country? Would you consider mm-hmm. that an Asian country? Okay. Obviously, I'm not very smart.
It's Myanmar right now.
Myanmar, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
I would say.
So anyways, he goes and he's like, look, is this like traditional shibari? And she's like, Lily's like, no, that's not traditional shibari. That looks like sloppy, whatever you can get your hands on kind of rope and throw into some knots. And she also mentions it's more like what you would see if someone had boating knowledge.
I was wondering about that, if it's like how they knew that BTK had knowledge of knots, because the knots that he would tie were very intricate. It's like, I wonder what kind of knots were on her.
Right. So the shibari lady was like, I don't think that's, you know, and they're like, is it possible for her to have done that to herself? They're like, yeah, it's possible, but likely?
But I was like, thinking about that too. I was like, if the cop could do it, that doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. mean that everyone can, you know? Like, cops have, you know, you'd think you'd have to be a little bit better in physical shape. Not that Rebecca wasn't. It's just,
no, she was in amazing shape. She was gorgeous.
Oh. Okay, well, maybe she could have done it.
And it's funny because, like, throughout this, like, starting the former prosecutor, Lonnie Coombs, she was talking about, like, she's like, you know, I really went into this thinking it's not possible, like not possible. And then throughout some of it, she's like, I'm kind of starting to think it's possible. She's like, I don't think that's necessarily what it happened, but it is possible. And that really sucks mm-hmm. because there is the benefit of the doubt. Like, you know, it's possible. All these things she could have done.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard to get into her mindset at the time. Mm-hmm. Can't ask her what she was thinking. Mm-mm. If indeed it was her doing this. It's just unlikely. Okay, yeah.
It is. So, kind of along the same lines, so two computers were taken as evidence by the police from the mansion. I think it was two computers. One of them, I believe, it was either a computer or a phone. I don't really know. I want to say it was a computer or a laptop. Adam had access to, showed that night he had searched Asian bondage porn.
Oh.
Or someone had searched, but somebody I'm just
on
saying.
That computer
who was home that night besides Rebecca? Do you think she would have been in the mood for a little shibari?
I wouldn't on the internet? Think so. Not after what has happened very recently with Max. I don't think that she'd be in the mood to be looking that kind of stuff up. But I don't
think so either.
Apparently he was.
Somebody was. So remember we talked about the paint on the door, the message painted on the door?
She saves him. Who saves her?
Mm-hmm. So the paint used to make the message on the door, bits of that paint were found on her body, which, I mean, that would make sense if she was the one that painted it. She'd have a little paint on her. But tell me why. It's on her inner thigh and around her nipples.
I can't.
That's not where I'm wiping my dirty hands.
No, that is not an accidental splishy splash of paint. That's very specific Mm-mm. and in a very strange locale on the body.
And someone pointed out, and I don't remember where I saw it, so don't quote me on this being official like evidence. I don't think it officially was. Someone said that a bit of the paint that was on her, there was a bit of a print, but it wasn't a fingerprint. It was kind of like, I forgot how they described it, almost like blocky.
Oh.
As if it had come off of leather. like a leather glove, possibly.
Oh.
They just said the marking wasn't consistent with being like a fingerprint, like the swirly lines of a fingerprint. It looked more like leathery, gatory skin looking, possibly something like that.
Interesting. So a paint splotch on the, possibly on a glove.
Possibly. That could have rubbed off. I mean, there's no other... There's no other DNA or fingerprints found on anything.
Right. So it's a little, and even on the knife that he said he used.
Yeah.
It's like, well, were you wearing gloves? Why were you wearing gloves? This is fucking San Diego. It never gets cold enough to put on some gloves. Especially in the summer.
Yo.
Fucking
summer. So they said it was on either side of her nipples, as if someone might have like pinched around. I'm over here grabbing my nipple.
Yeah, it's
like, I'm just trying to like feel like a kind of like either side of her nipple,
where the markings would be. It's like, well, yeah, that sounds like a pinch, like a boop boop.
Yeah, and on her inner thigh,
which also is very like these places are indicative of where a woman wouldn't necessarily touch herself. Like that, you know, like, oh, I just wrote this somewhat suicidal note, possibly. And they just go ahead and boop, boop. No, that's not where you're putting your hands right away.
No. And also, why would she leave a cryptic message? If she was truly sorry and sad and guilty and was going to leave a note of some sort, don't you think she would have, I don't know, written it?
Not
in what... third person or something? I don't know.
Right. And it would have been like, I'm very sorry. I wish things had gone differently with Max. Mm-hmm. Like, it would have been a lot more personal.
I think it would have been more personal and more explanatory.
Yes.
Of what she was feeling.
Yes.
Yeah. And apologetic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. If that's what she was feeling and that's why she did this to herself. Absolutely. That's why I'm still going back to that. Like, what was she on? If indeed
she... I don't think they found anything in her system, even alcohol. She didn't drink.
So, oh, she didn't even drink. She's a teetotaler over here. There's no way, unless she's got some kind of bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, that she would just break from reality for a minute to write this weird message.
No. It's strange.
Yeah, and I'm sure if this was something that's like, oh, she does this kind of thing all the time, like... Someone would have said that and been like, oh, no, that was definitely her. She's weird. She writes these things weird.
Right. So a woman named Marsha Allison, who lived two doors down from the Spreckles mansion, said she heard screaming around 11:30 p.m. Someone yelling, help me, a few times. Oh. During a deposition, Marsha said the screaming stopped, so she didn't feel it necessary to call 911 or anything. I don't know. So, look, Marsha's an older woman, okay? I'd say, I'm saying older, I don't mean old, I'm saying older, like around 65 plus, maybe even closer to like 75. So okay. When the police interviewed her, a female copper detective was like, there's no way this lady could have heard anything. So Marsha was like, I didn't like that lady. But but it's totally possible she could have, because the way these mansions were actually very close together for being mansions.
You'd think you'd want some space.
A little bit, but no, there was not much space, because if you look at a picture of the front of the mansion, you can see the next door neighbor's mansion like a few feet away.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember that when they were showing that on the news, like, oh wow, that's I remember the front.
They're
of
very
the mansion.
Close, and it looked like the where the woman Marsha said she was heard the noise. It could have carried over across the backyard. The noise could have traveled very easily.
Yeah, and if everything's real close together, you can probably hear some stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can hear stuff from neighbors that are far away. I know she's a little older, but if they're that close.
Yeah, no, if they're that close and you hear someone screaming, yeah. So,
would you have called the cops?
I don't know. I hate to say it, but I'm very much a mind my own business kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, if I literally did hear... If I heard from a house nearby, I'm in a cul-de-sac, so it's like there are a lot of houses pretty close together. And you know, we kind of know each other because it's all the same people. Right. If I did hear, and I literally did hear, help me, help me, maybe I would have called the cops, but I would have also been like, maybe I misheard. I don't want to have the cops show up and it was like they were having too much fun and maybe a little sex thing going on. Like, it's none of my business. I don't know. Right. It's real, real tricky. Yeah. Mm,
totally. All right. So the last bit of evidence I want to talk about, really weird. So the gag, the t-shirt gag.
That is so there's weird.
A criminologist, name is Dr. Eric Hickey on the Oxygen show, states that one of the things that really doesn't make sense is the gag for the suicide. So if you were going to hang yourself, you're not going to be able to speak. Like, literally, what's the point of putting a gag in your mouth when you're going to hang yourself? Because you're not going to hear, you can't talk. Like, what are you trying to do with a gag? Like, makes no sense. Like, none of this makes sense. Let's start
none of this makes sense.
Of all the things, I think this is the one that the doctor was saying that really stuck out to him. He's like, what is the point? Now, if you're in the middle of killing someone who's making too much noise, maybe yelling for help, you're going to gag them. You hate for a neighbor to hear, right?
Yes. You might take the shirt that they're already wearing or whatever and stuff it in their mouth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And, that, you know, in an execution, when they do put, like, a hood on the people, it's for other people not to see their eyeballs bulging. It's not it doesn't actually help the execution at all.
No. So that's all the major evidence that I found that I felt was, like, super pertinent to this case. So there's 2 to 3 suspects. It's obviously the first one is Adam Shacknight, Jonah's brother, who was there when it happened.
He was there. He said he did these things that they can't necessarily say that he actually did those things.
Mm-mm. No. Sorry, I had to burp. I was hoping you'd keep talking.
Oh, nope. Anything else to say?
So, any thoughts on who another one or two suspects might be?
Yeah.
Who?
Dina. I don't know if she would have. It doesn't sound like something one woman would do to another woman. It could happen. I'm not, you know, I can't say for certain that it is not something a woman do to another woman, but I would assume that it doesn't sound like it anyway. It sounds more like a boyfriend kind of thing, which is Max's dad. But I guess he was at the hospital at the time, so maybe...
Dina and Jonah were both at the hospital and they have alibis. However, what about Nina, the sister?
Dina and Nina. Maybe Dina was like, go take care of this for me. I've got my alibi set up.
Maybe Nina and Adam worked together.
Okay, so Adam is the brother of Jonah. And Nina is the sister of Dina. So it's like they're not necessarily related to each other, but they probably knew each other. Okay.
Now, that was... Dina and Nina have been cleared as suspects. I don't know... I know Dina because she had a solid alibi. She, I don't think, ever left Max's side. I couldn't find solid, like, reporting of this, but I saw it, and I'm just going to put it out there. I don't think it happened. Like I said, Nina has been cleared as a suspect. So I feel like I saw something where Nina called Rebecca and said, we need to talk. I need to understand what happened. And someone said that Nina did go over to the house and was knocking on the door, but no one answered, so she left. But I could not find 100% hard, this is really what happened.
Or maybe some rumor about it.
Right.
And if that's the case, that's all she got to say. It's like, I wanted to talk to her. And somebody, if she called and left a message, because they said that Rebecca listened to her voicemails right before she killed herself. It's like, well, if there was a voicemail from Nina saying, I want to come talk to you. And then she knocked and nobody answered. I don't know. That's just, it's weird. Very strange.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think she had anything to do with it.
Yeah, I guess not.
I don't know. But it was interesting to put out there. Let's talk about theories real quick, okay? So the one that the police are trying to sell is Rebecca commits suicide over the guilt of Max. And here's the thing. I didn't even mention this. Max does die.
Oh.
And I kind of feel bad because we didn't really talk about Max very much. But he does pass away after Rebecca dies. So it's not like he died and then she felt so bad about it, she killed herself.
Yeah, as far as she knew, he could have recovered.
He could have pulled through.
Yeah.
So he hadn't died, but he does end up dying a couple days later. I want to say they told him, like, there's no chance of recovery. Like, he can only be left on oxygen or whatever for so long. But he's gone, you know, so. Oh,
that's too bad.
Right. And Dina feels like there was something far more nefarious that happened to Max.
Really? Okay.
But I just, in my heart of hearts, I don't think so.
But I don't know. Yeah, what would have happened? It seems a lot more straightforward than what happened to Rebecca. It's like, oh, he was messing around too much.
Here's what I'm thinking. So from the pictures I saw, let's see, you walk in the front door of the mansion. Right in the front door is stairs leading up, like halfway to a landing. It turns and goes back up the rest of the stairs. They said that they had been seeing him playing on his scooter on the landing, not all the way up, but on the landing, not saying he couldn't have gone all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, well, if he had just like tripped and fell, there's no way he could have gone over the railing based on his height and his center of gravity being lower. I honestly think what happened was he was a little kid, little boy. Mm-hmm. Little boys like to just imagine they can fly, right?
Yes.
I was thinking what might have happened is two things. One, he could have gotten his scooter and was like, I'm going to ride it down the railing or something. Like, oh. That makes sense. Like, to a little kid, that would make sense.
Yes. Like, cool, I can do that. Kids want to do. I wanted to do that kind of shit when I was a kid.
Slide down the railing, right? Even,
yeah.
Or, hey, you know, it'd be really cool if I can get on this railing and jump. I can swing from the chandelier like a monkey or something. Like, be silly.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And I could totally see a kid doing that.
Because think, if he just fell over, I can't see him just falling over and being able to grab the chandelier on his way down necessarily. But if he jumped, it was like, I'm going to jump on the chandelier. Like, that would be so cool, right?
It'll totally hold me. Yeah, that might have not even entered his head. It was just like, oh, wouldn't that be fun?
Right, or something like that. That's what I think. I think he was just going to be a little boy, thinking what he was going to do would have no consequences. Now, they're like, well, the scooter was on the floor, so somehow he went over the edge with the scooter. I'm like, what if he put a scooter down there and then went upstairs? Yeah. He's like, I'm going to jump.
I want to jump from the railing to the chandelier. Or he was holding the scooter and thinking, I don't know, maybe not.
I don't know. And honestly, I don't even know how, to be honest, I don't really know how he would have gotten onto the railing. I don't know how tall the railing was, but they were saying it's tall enough where he wouldn't have easily fallen over it.
Sure.
But I don't know how easy it would have been for him to climb on top of it. I don't.
Yeah, a little kid with some determination probably could have done that pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what I'm thinking happened. And, okay, I'm going to say something, and I'm hoping it's not taken wrong. So Rebecca was in the bathroom, I think downstairs. Zena, the sister, the 13-year-old sister, was upstairs, I think. I think she was in the shower, just getting out of the shower, something like that. Somebody was in the shower. And I'm like, what did she see? Did she know anything? Did she see anything? Because she was taken away pretty quickly. She was pretty much sent home.
Right away.
Right away. So I don't know if she was questioned about what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. I keep thinking I'd love to hear from her if she mm-hmm. knows anything else.
Yeah, what's her? Because didn't she find Max first?
She yelled for, Rebecca. And Rebecca came running. But I would think Rebecca would have heard Max.
Yeah, some kind of big crash.
Right. Or maybe it was vice versa. Maybe it was Rebecca in the shower and they were both in the bathroom. Someone was showering, someone was just using the bathroom. So I don't remember who was doing what exactly. I don't think it was a suicide. All of this is totally possible. Likely no, but possible.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What do you think?
And I guess it could be a suicide, like you said. It's proven that it could have been her that did all this. It seems like a very overboard thing to do. And also, if Adam didn't do it, who the fuck did? Like, he was the only one around. If it's not her, it would be him or maybe some kind of hired assassin. But if it was a hired assassin, they did a bad job of making it look like a suicide. They could have made that a lot simpler, like made her swallow some pills or something.
A hired assassin would not have the time to go in there and stage all of this. And especially knowing someone else is on the property. May not have been in the same house, but on the property. No, yeah. They would have taken her out with a bullet. That's it.
Yes. It would have been a lot faster, a lot easier to understand what had happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think an assassin would. It would, if it's all, it's like either some kind of stranger serial killer who's just like, I'm going to do this to somebody. Then why didn't they do it to anybody else? Not necessarily a serial killer, but you know what I mean. Some stranger or Adam.
That's not happening. And they also mentioned that no random person was just going to be hanging out in that neighborhood because it's like a nice neighborhood. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Coronado is kind of, it's hard to get to. Hard to get to Coronado. And they have their own police force outside of San Diego.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, they've got enough cops going around. Yeah, not a lot's going on in Coronado.
So the case has been ruled a suicide. However, no criminal charges were pressed against Adam. The Zahao family took him to court, though, for civil court.
Oh.
And he was found guilty in civil court.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He was found guilty. I know it's just civil court.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they could have reversed the, maybe it wasn't suicide. Let's look into it.
Yeah, they say sometimes it's better to not start in civil court, but if they can get civil court to go ahead and be like, yeah, you're guilty, then it could possibly help with a criminal investigation or criminal charges being brought later on down the line. And Rebecca's sister Mary really wants this case reclassified as homicide, so that way they can go after him. But
yeah. I mean, why was he just like fantasizing about this for so long that he's like, oh, I finally have my opportunity. Nobody else is in the house.
I don't know. Or, I mean, here's a theory I think someone presented. Say Adam's a bad guy. He
sounds like it.
He decides that, you know, I am alone with this woman that I've fantasized about.
She's hot, young thing.
She's hot, she's young, she's, you know, very pretty and alone. Mm-hmm. So I think he goes and maybe surprises her as she gets out of the shower. Maybe she rebuffs him.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? This is happening one way or another. And like I said, remember that one knife had blood on it, only on the handle. And they believe it was used to penetrate her, which she was on her period.
Oh.
Maybe sexually humiliating her that way.
It's tying her up first.
Mm-hmm.
Going to town. And if there was no stab wounds and no wounds on him, it's like, where did that blood come from? Can they... This is a question that I should know the answer to, but can they tell if blood is menstrual blood versus
yeah, they can. I don't remember if they specifically said the blood on the knife handle was menstrual blood or not. I don't remember if they said that or not, but yeah, they can.
Okay, That's good to know. I should have known that already. I'm I'm pretty sure it's different.
No, totally. So yeah, I just this one. I do hope they get justice for her because I do not believe this is a suicide. While it's possible, don't think it is. Just, there's too many things that are just bizarre.
There's a lot of possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention. So in a videotape deposition with Dina Shacknight, she was talking about how when she and her ex-husband Jonah were, I think, in the room together or on the way to the hospital, at some point when they were together, she was really upset, of course, at Rebecca for letting this happen. Yeah. And Jonah says something to the effect of, like, you should get down on your knees and thank her because she saved Max's life because she gave him CPR.
Maybe.
Okay. But think about what was painted on the door. She saved him. Can you save her?
That's
I feel like that ties in somehow, right?
It's a very interesting choice of words because she didn't really save him. Not just because he died later. It was like CPR isn't going to help a head injury.
Well, I mean, she really didn't know at the time. I think she was.
Of course.
She said he wasn't breathing and she was just trying to get him breathing. And I think she
absolutely did. Yeah. Yeah. And that could have saved him long enough to get to the hospital. But it's just a very strange, like, immediately saying, well, she saved him. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I mean, she was there and she called 911. Mm-hmm. And then it's he says it's it and up. Then it's on the door.
Yeah.
It's like maybe he talked to Adam and Adam was like fixated on it for some reason. Or just wanted to make it look weird. I don't know, man.
I do want to say something kind of cool. I think I might have found my new profession.
Oh.
So, not as a murderer.
No, of course.
Okay, so this oxygen special was, like I said, very well done. And I feel like they did a lot of things to kind of, like, work this case amongst themselves. Did you know this is a job, okay? There is a job where you can be a crime scene reenactment stager where you can stage the crime scene. Oh, and there is a woman that they recreated the bedroom. They got the exact same bed. They got the paint. They put paint splotches on things. They painted on the door to match exactly. They had like measurements from the door to the first blood scene to the second blood scene to where there was a paintbrush on the floor to where the bed had moved based on the rope. And like, oh my gosh, it was so detailed. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like,
yeah.
As long as they have all that information, they can recreate the crime scene and be like, okay, is this possible?
Yeah, and let's try and do this ourselves and see what could have happened and what might not have happened. And that person who has to do all that, possibly Lisa in the future. That's a lot of attention to detail. That's like, okay, this was here. This was here. This was here. I'm going to put this.
Yeah, it
was
based this on kind photos of paint. And stuff, yeah. Also, I think the Zahawa family paid like an extraordinary amount of money for their private investigator to, I don't think he did it or she did it, but they made a doll the size, weight, proportions of Rebecca to see kind of like, could this hop over to the balcony and toss themselves off, plus like the weight and also like her weight versus how much the bed moved, because remember the rope was tied to the bed, the corner of the bed, based on throwing the weight off how much the bed moved. I don't know, but I was like, that's a pretty cool job. I don't think my town of 500 people really needs somebody to do that for their, you know.
Yeah, you might have to be willing to travel a little bit.
Possibly.
We need to fly in our crime scene expert, Lisa.
Yes. Man. Anyways, I thought that was a very interesting job. I kind of wanted it. But I also brought that up because they asked her, they're like, based on all this, what do you think? And she's like, honestly, is it inconclusive to me? She's like, however, the note on the door, that was meant to throw people off.
And
that was purposeful. She goes, I don't know if Rebecca did that or if Adam did that. But whoever did it made it cryptic. They made it third person and they made it weird on purpose to throw off something. They didn't want you to pay attention to something else. They wanted this to be a really big focus. So
that's an interesting point of view. I mean, I agree completely. It's just like, from someone who's seen and studied a lot of crime scenes, to say that, it's like, oh, thank goodness I'm not crazy. That is a weird message.
But yeah, she was like, honestly, you don't see that. You don't see, you either don't have a note or you have a note. But a weird painted like on the door. Like, it's not like she didn't have a moment to get a piece of paper. Like, she lived in that house. She would have something to leave, a real note, not a, paintbrush. Also, they said that the, how you write versus how you would paint. But they were saying whoever painted this did not use it like they would normally, like, in a paintbrush motion to, and let's be honest, most females are a little bit more fluid with their handwriting. This, if you look it up, it's very blocky and almost looking like someone held the paintbrush this way, and I know you guys listening can't see it, but holding it more like if you were to hold a flashlight.
More utilitarian.
With your pinky finger facing away from you.
Yeah, not how you would paint a picture or even a wall, really.
No, you would not hold it like this. Like, you're making a fist, like you're holding it with a fist rather than like a writing with a pencil, you know? So.
Yeah, and she was a painter. She wouldn't have held it with a fist. She would have done it more delicately.
Probably. I mean, you never know. But it did not match her handwriting. Not that it necessarily would, but it was very blocky and splotchy and kind of like looked like a 5-year-old did it.
Or a tugboat captain.
Maybe.
And you did, I didn't connect this before, but you said something about the knots possibly being nautical. I mean, the people who know about Japanese the bondage.
People. Yeah. They said it might be on par with nautical knots.
And he's a fucking tugboat captain, Mr. Adam. I don't like it. It's too suspicious. And he was fucking... So is he in jail?
No, you don't go to jail for that because it's a civil court. It's all money-based, really. Damages and stuff like that.
Kind of like the OJ thing. Like, he wasn't found guilty in court, but later on... Not in criminal court. In civil court. Yeah.
Yes. So... I forgot how much they asked for, but they got a considerable amount less because they settled they got a settlement, and everyone was like, how in the heck did, like, he have any money? He was not rich like his brother, and they're like, well, it's probably his brother or insurance or something. I feel like they said something about insurance, like he had some kind of, do you have murder insurance?
In case you ever need it, here's some money to pay off the victim's family.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess the brother had a bunch of money and was like, this is embarrassing. Let's get this out of the public view.
Right. And also something I know.
Your brother killed your girlfriend.
That's something else we didn't really talk about. And I didn't see a lot about. But it didn't seem like... I think with Jonah being so upset about Max, I don't think he necessarily had the emotional wherewithal to really put into Rebecca's death. And it seemed he was just kind of like, I don't know. I hate to speak on it because I really don't know how he was in those moments. But they were saying how he just wasn't that, I don't know, didn't seem that upset about her. But that's, who knows? I don't know. And like I said, he's not guilty of anything as far as I know. So I don't want to like say he was like a jerk or aloof or whatever about her dying. I mean, that was his girlfriend of 2 years, but...
His girlfriend of 2 years and his son is in the hospital, and I'm sure maybe it was just too many emotions going on, so it was hard for him to show any, because it's like, I feel all the emotions right now.
Sure.
Otherwise, I don't know, man. Wouldn't that be, that would be a huge rift. Like, you might not have killed my girlfriend, I don't know, we can't prove it. But you're my brother. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I don't know.
I definitely wouldn't give you the money. But
no.
I don't know.
Good episode there.
Thank you. I was going to add one little last tidbit about Rebecca's sister, Mary, who I think she was very, very close with. Because they were closer in age than she and Zena, the 13-year-old sister, were. But they were asking Mary, like, what did you, how did you perceive Rebecca and Jonah's relationship? Like, how were they together? She's like, honestly, I can't really tell you because it just, it didn't seem like very sweetie or very affectionate. Mm. I think she alluded to, like, I think he was happy to have someone kind of just take care of his kid and be around and be kind of, you know, arm candy pretty when necessary. Yeah. But she's like, I feel like she was always watching Max. Like, she almost was like a live-in babysitter with girlfriend privileges or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, live-in babysitter who didn't get necessarily paid for it.
I mean, you get a free, but you get a mansion to live in. I don't know.
You get a mansion to live in. And if you like the kid, which apparently him and her got along really well.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a too big of a deal. Or maybe she's just like, oh, thank goodness I'm not with my ex anymore. I much prefer someone who not ignores me, but
who knows?
Is it a hassle?
I don't know. But yeah, that's the episode. Any final thoughts?
I want to watch this documentary. What did you watch it on?
Okay, let me tell you how hard it was to get this documentary watched, okay?
Oh, no.
How many times I had to sign up for Oxygen
online
under different
emails. Sign up for Oxygen.
Well, no, here's the thing. So we no longer have, what's it called, like cable? So cable. You can, whenever you go to oxygen.com or whatever, you can sign up through your cable provider. Like, if you already have it, you can sign up through there. Or you can sign up and you get tokens. And you get three tokens that you can use on any program. So this was like a five-part thing. And I watched like parts 1, 2, and 4 or something. Like,
yeah.
I tried to pick the ones I thought would have the most information for the case. So it was really difficult to... And also, I think it's going to go away off their website soon. I think it said it has like 1 year left, so...
What?
Yeah, if you have Oxygen or Peacock, because I can get Oxygen on Peacock, but because it's kind of an older program, they don't have it on there, so.
It's not even that old. Didn't you say 2019?
2019 is when the special came out, yeah.
That doesn't feel like that long ago.
It really isn't.
It is to some people,
it's
but
not.
It's not that long ago.
2011 wasn't that long ago either.
No, it wasn't. That was like a little bit over 10 years ago.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry about us. It's just us.
They love it.
They do. They keep coming back. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, I do anyway. I liked it.
Thank you.
I wouldn't want to say I had a good time and that I liked it, but it was very, very, very interesting.
Right. Well, guys, thanks for listening. That's our episode. If you like what you heard, maybe you'd like to join our Patreon. We have 3 great tiers to choose from and plenty of perkity perks.
That's right. Perky perks like our show, Dolls After Dark, where me and Lisa like to come with 2 different topics to discuss, and then we start to get a little dark, but mostly silly. So if you like our regular episodes, come join our Dolly community on Patreon. The links are in our show notes.
That's right. And speaking of checking things out, check out our socials. Come follow us on Instagram at Near Death Dolls Podcast. We have a TikTok account where we really need to add a few more things, but we're working on it. Calm down. It's all right.
That's right.
We got some good stuff on there already. Just search Near Death Dolls Podcast. And we're on Tumblr at neardeathdolls@tumblr.com. And if you want to help a doll out, please subscribe and leave us a review. That really helps us.
And as always, darling dolls, be careful out there. Shit be scary.
It do. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
A special thanks to Sam Hears for our art and music.
If you'd like to see more from him, check out the links in our show notes.